You're listening to Mobile Bunny by Moomoo, demystifying markets one episode at a time. This content is strictly for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be interpreted as a recommendation or investment guidance. Keep in mind that this information is not personalized and should not be the sole basis for your investment decisions, as there may be additional factors to consider.
Hi, welcome to Mobile Money by Moomoo. I'm your host, Justin Zaks, Vice President of Strategy at Moomoo Technologies. I've spent my whole career in and around financial markets. This is a show that helps investors gain a better understanding of markets and their money. St. Patrick's Day is almost upon us, and there's probably no other holiday that celebrates luck so fully. Finding a four-leaf clover supposedly brings good fortune, but what about in investing? Is it all just about luck, or is there skill involved? Is investing luck the same as what you get from rubbing your magic rabbit's foot? Today, I'll examine what luck means in the investment sense and how traders evaluate it and ultimately try to control it in their search for that pot of gold at the end of the investing rainbow. Luck in the traditional sense refers to an idea that an object or a person can bring about a certain outcome, a good outcome or a bad outcome sometime in the future. And a lot of times that luck can also be linked to a date or a specific holiday. And certainly there's two that really stick out around this time of year. The first is March 15th. And if maybe that's not popping right out of your head right away, it's beware the Ides of March. And so the Ides of March was traditionally a deadline for settling debts in Rome. And it also became the date when Julius Caesar was assassinated in 44 BC. And it really became, that saying is from Shakespeare's play of the same name. And it really became a thought around luck during that time, because as part of the play, a soothsayer goes up to Julius Caesar and tells him, beware the Ides of March, and that he should be very careful on this day. And then he ends up being assassinated on that same day. So I think a lot of these ideas of luck go back to these stories, these folklore. There's a almost mythical idea of what luck is from a historical perspective. And then there's, of course, March 17th. Which is St. Patrick's Day. And there's lots of different lucky charms that are associated with St. Patrick's Day. Legend has it that if you catch a leprechaun, you can force him to tell you where his pot of gold is. Maybe it's somewhere at the end of a rainbow. And then there's the idea of kissing the Blarney Stone, which is a stone near a very old castle, 600 years old in Ireland, that if you kiss it, you're going to have some type of luck. And then tying it back to investing, I think of things like the luck of the Irish. And this phrase can be dated back to the success some of the Irish and Irish-American gold and silver miners had during the second half of the 19th century. And a lot of times, this was almost a derogatory statement. They were saying, oh, they just got lucky to find this gold. That's where you start thinking about it in terms of trading. You know, what is the difference between luck and skill, whether you find a few gold flakes or a huge gold nugget? And then lastly, I'd like to think about luck in terms of finding that four-leaf clover. Risk is defined as the probability of an adverse event. And you're usually considered lucky if you escape those risks unharmed, and unlucky if you are harmed from those risks. Interconnection of risk and luck. And this is all related to chance or probability. So for an investor, risk ends up being about how much we're willing to accept bad luck in order to increase the chance or the probability of a good luck event or a gain. For trading and investing, it's very important to understand how that luck plays into the skill involved. What you're doing. Is there such thing as earned luck that you get from hard work? Also, how do you take that risk and measure it? That's something that's very important. Are your successes or failures brought about by chance or your own actions? And there's a lot of things in finance that we get into that can help us evaluate that. You know, one of the first things that students of finance will learn when they're studying is the capital asset pricing model, or the CAPM. That's a model that calculates the expected rate of return for a particular investment. And I'm not going to get into all of the X's and O's of the actual model, but the important thing to understand about this type of efficient portfolio theory is you should be compensated for taking on risk. So there's this idea of the risk-free rate, and most of the time, this is considered U.S. Treasury. So there's a very, very good chance that if you buy a U.S. Treasury, you're going to get your money back plus the interest rate. And so that becomes almost risk-free. Obviously, it's not 100% risk-free, but it's almost there. For a riskier investment, say a stock, you don't know what your return may be. So you should be compensated for that risk based upon the risk profile of the actual stock, its volatility and its beta or its sensitivity to the overall market. So the Sharpe ratio is one way to measure that excess return. You can think about it. Think about if you can get 5% from a T-bill and you're also getting 5% return from a very risky tech stock, which security would you rather hold? You know, you want to be compensated an extra amount. And that's what the Sharpe ratio helps determine. What is that excess amount you should capture? Is it an extra 5% per year or 10% per year? And that's obviously going to be determined by the riskiness of the other asset compared to your risk-free asset. Investing in a lot of ways is about determining the probability an investment will move in a certain direction over a certain amount of time for a certain length. It's important to understand what influences those probabilities. And there are other ways to influence your trading outcomes and your trading mindset. I think about the first Star Wars movie, and the whole gang is in the Millennium Falcon, and they're headed up. They have some time. So Luke Skywalker's doing these lightsaber trainings with a kind of a laser-guided sphere. He's not doing too well. He keeps getting shot with lasers in the butt. And everyone's kind of having a good laugh. And Ben Kenobi tells him he's relying too much on his eyes and he should just give in to the Force. And so he puts this helmet on him that covers his eyes and he's really not sure he can do it. And eventually he's able to deflect with his lightsaber. And all this time kind of Han Solo is watching and Han Solo says, well, I call it luck. And Ben comes back and says, in my experience, there's no such thing as luck. And I think this really speaks to the idea of being prepared, taking a deep breath, meditating, really thinking ahead. And this is something that you can do in every aspect of your life, and particularly in trading. So you really want to look around, do your planning, do your research ahead of time. And this is kind of that same thought that he's getting at there in a much broader sense. And the other great trading wisdom you might take from that scene was Han's retort to Ben saying, there's no such thing as luck. Han says, look, going good against remotes is one thing. Going good against the living, that's something else. And that's something you also really want to think about in trading. And Moomoo has a great paper trading app where you can go and test all your strategies without any real money. It's a great learning experience. But when you're going to put your real money to work and you're investing it, you've got to make sure you're doing it the same way as you would do with the paper trading, meaning with no emotions, because people are going to get emotional about money. There's a psychology involved around it, and you can't let these psychological fears influence your trading strategies. But as much as you try, it's very hard to take luck completely out of the investing equation. Think about if you had a similar thesis and one of the times you invested in AMD and one of the times you invested in NVIDIA, your returns might look significantly different. With almost exactly the same type of trading thesis, could be trading even on the same day, and the security you chose was different, or the timing is different. I think about a great story a floor trader told me once. We were hanging out on the floor. We were talking he used to be an oil trader, had some of these oil options that he was looking to sell, and there was no bid. Literally, they were at a half a tick offer, and no one wanted them. And so he ended up holding these options just because he couldn't sell them. And then overnight, right, and they were going to expire the next day. This was a Thursday. They were going to expire Friday. And so, you know, he just thought, well, I'm out of that money. Nothing I can do. That's the way sometimes trading goes. Overnight, Iraq invaded Kuwait. And suddenly, these options that he held were worth millions. There is some type of luck factored into this. He didn't know anything about the possibility of that happening. It took the whole oil market by surprise tremendously back when that happened in August of 1990. have to think about for every person that's long these options, someone was short the option, so they lost millions of dollars. And the other important thing to take from this experience or the kind of this story is thinking about the outcome bias, right? So that's the idea. You're evaluating your decision after the fact based on the outcome, particularly when it's high risk. So if something has a very low probability of happening and it does happen, does that make you the best trader ever? Is this guy that made millions a excellent trader? You just can't go by this one trade that was very unlikely to happen happening and he made all this money. You have to take his whole trading career in aggregate and say, so a lot of times I feel particularly beginners get this way. Maybe you're riding the market up in the market. We've seen the market don't do extremely well the last 4 months. And you just think, well, this is very easy. And I just started investing in, say, November of 2023, and I've done so well. I must be an excellent trader. You really have to think about overestimating the quality of those decisions when you're in a certain type of trend. And when you're out of these trends, when the market moves differently, are you able to adapt? And that's when you kind of really find your real mettle as a trader to determine how good you are. So just because you've done well over a very short period of time or for a very small amount of trades, particularly trades that have a very low probability, it's something to think about. Really want to think about the process and the thought that goes into the trading, not as much about the results all the time. So in that way, you really want to think about luck in terms of probability. And going back to Star Wars, and this, I'll take you to the second movie, Empire Strikes Back. Again, they're in the Millennium Falcon. They're being chased by the Empire. And Han Solo decides, well, I'm going to steer the Millennium Falcon into an asteroid field. And great quote from C-3PO, who is kind of the consummate computer or what we would consider AI today. He really relies upon data and statistics to draw inferences. He says, sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1. Which Han Solo replies, never tell me the odds. And here is something that it is important to know the odds. And you don't necessarily want to be Han Solo in this case, because a lot of what trading is, you know, knowing the odds and putting the odds in your favor. And the real question is, how do you do that? And that's where you're really trying to find securities that are mispriced, that those probabilities are off or expected to be off from their future returns. And I think about the successful hedge fund manager, John Paulson, who had a tremendous trade where he made billions of dollars on subprime mortgages, where, you know, he bet that they would fail in the house because of the way the housing market was going. So he had this great quote. It was a very, very skewed trade where you lost a very small amount of money if it didn't work, but you made a fortune if it worked. That's why it's called the greatest trade ever. We got both the security and the timing right, and were able to make that 100 to 1 return. And that quote really gets to a lot of the heart of what makes a good trade. That's identifying the right opportunity where there is a mispricing, getting the right type of return on risk. So he's looking for something that's low risk that could be very high reward, and that's a great trade to do. He talks about the security. And I talked about that before, AMD versus NVIDIA. You have to get the security right for the maximum return. And then on top of that, you also have to get the timing right. So all four of those things really bake into making some of the great trades. So it's something you should think about, each part of those, when you go and evaluate a potential trade. Getting those estimated probabilities right is probably one of the hardest parts of trading. And that's where a lot of traders go wrong. Because if your estimates are wrong, your trade is going to be wrong it will have more likelihood of going wrong. So going back to that asteroid field, C-3PO comes up with a very definitive, you know, odds of this happening. And so I think about, well, not all asteroid fields are the same. Some of them are more densely packed with small asteroids. Some of them have bigger asteroids. How did he go about determining this? So the methods you use to figure out your probability of success for your trades are very important. Whether that's fundamental analysis, whether that's technical analysis, what you should really think about when you do that is saying, is the method that I've developed robust? Go ahead and backtest it. You just don't want to go in there and base things on a hunch. And at this point, you want to think about, well, how do I evaluate my trading success? And so the most important part is to think about this in terms of statistical analysis. how many trades do I have to do to reach kind of a long run where you have a statistically significant amount of trades that can tell you with a certain amount of confidence that you're successful. And the more trades you have, the more likely you are to get there. And the important part probably that a lot is lost on a lot of traders is the amount of risk you're taking with each individual trade. So if you have an individual trade that is, say, 55% likely to come to be profitable versus 45% unlikely, and say the returns are the same, maybe minus 1% and plus 1%, you do a lot of these trades, you may get to a statistically significant area much quicker than, say, if you had a trade that's only going to be right 1 in 100 times and lose 99 out of 100 times. You have to do a lot more trades. So the idea of having these big one-shot gains or big one-shot losses, it can significantly influence your results. And it's something you have to think about when you're doing these types of evaluations. Do you want to take some of these big wins and take them out and say, well, we have to at some point account for the large, unlikely probability of this happening. So you could take kind of that trade out of your data analysis when you're going about doing these types of evaluations. At the same time, we've seen the market itself kind of have this interesting skew to it. Like a lot of times, obviously I mentioned before, it's more likely that the market in the past has gone up than gone down. But when it goes down on those down days tend to be a lot bigger. So when you're talking about your win rate, say for if you're a day trader trading a particular day, you look at your percentage win rate, you can't just look at that. You have to look at the overall money. Overall, am I making money? Am I losing money? How much is it? And how much do I make on each day? And these are all the types of analysis you want to think about doing when you're evaluating your trading strategies. The other area it's important not to overlook when you're evaluating your trading strategies is taxes. And we have tax day coming up pretty soon. So I know it'll take a big chunk out of a lot of profitable traders' P&L. In commissions. And that's, obviously one of the advantages of using the Moomoo app, the zero commissions on stocks and options can be beneficial in letting traders keep some of those profits they generate. Well, I hope today's podcast has given you a good idea of how luck influences your investment returns and the different ways you might mitigate it and make your trading skill count more than it currently does. If you have enjoyed today's podcast, it'd be great if you could give us a rating on Spotify or Apple or whatever platform you're listening from. Please tune in next week for a brand new episode. Until then, I hope you enjoy your St. Patrick's Day.
The opinions expressed are those of the host and any guest speaker and not necessarily those of Moomoo Technologies, Inc. or its affiliates. The podcast is provided for informational and educational purposes only and is not a recommendation or endorsement of any particular investment or investment strategy that may be mentioned or covered in the podcast. All investments involve risk and the loss of principal as possible. Past performance does not indicate or guarantee future success. Moomoo is not affiliated with any outside guests or their companies. Information provided in this podcast is general in nature and may not be appropriate for all investors. The Moomoo app is an online trading platform offered by Moomoo Technologies, Inc. Securities, brokerage products, and related services available through the Moomoo app are offered by Moomoo Financial, Inc., a member of FINRA, SIPC.